How much money do you want to make from this business?
Between 5 to 8K a month.
Why 5 to 8,000 a month? Why not 50 to 80,000 a month?
I just felt a voice say, don't be greedy.
Like, why not make $1 million a year?
What just came to me, don't dare say it, because what if it doesn't happen?
What was your relationship with money growing up?
Not good.
Your subconscious mind is going to make sure that that money stays away. Money's constantly in motion somewhere. You just got to put a cup where it's flowing. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Recode Your Mind with Calvin Carelli. I'm here today with Kirsten, and I am so excited to learn more about you and your business and what challenge you want to work on today. So start by introducing who you are, what you do, so people have some context, and then we can get into the challenge.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Calvin. So I'm Kirsten D'Andrea Hollander. I've been a professor of fine arts and film for over 30 years, and I'm planning to retire in 3 years, and I am preparing for the next iteration, starting to build that iteration now. With my husband, Scott Hollander, we founded approximately 3 years ago the Creative School for Integration, which is a coherent field of non-judgment. It's a space for anyone who wants to be creative to be met where they're at and get support with that.
I love it. That's beautiful. Yeah. And so, what does it mean for you to retire? Do you have a job besides your business right now?
I'm a college professor.
Still, okay, got it. Understood. So you want to retire for that, but continue doing business after?
Yes, and I'm meant to be a teacher and a guide. That's just my life's work. I've really enjoyed teaching my undergraduate and graduate students, but I am feeling this call to expand in this new way. I also feel very inspired and committed to making an education in creativity extremely accessible. And a big part of that is helping folks to not feel judged and to move past fear and to enjoy what flows through them.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. And so the creativity that you're speaking to specific, is that specifically like you said, fine arts and film, or is it like?
Yes. I have a kind of an interesting continuum because I draw and paint, and I also make documentary films, mostly in the social justice arena. And as someone who in the filmmaking world, someone who's involved with, you know, the high technology, I'm not a coder like yourself. I don't understand those kind of inner workings of the computers and such, but I have my hands on all different kinds of cameras and lenses and editing software. And I feel really grateful to have access and to use all that as an art form. But it also has reminded me and helped me remember how important our analog experiences are with our creativity. You know, so like one of the primary things we do at Creative School for Integration is work with a process that we're calling embodied mark making. And it is a process that helps you feel embodied. And it can be worked with your inner vision, but with the outer vision, if you're called to express outwardly, we're working with really basic things like a piece of charcoal, which is basically a piece of burnt wood, and allowing yourself to express your feelings, experiences in the moment through something as simple as a mark.
Beautiful. I love this. Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And so are you going to retire in Costa Rica? Is that the idea?
Yeah. So I love Baltimore. I've been teaching there. It feels like forever. Raised my son there. I do think I'm called to be here. I turned 60 this past year, and my body is just preferring a warmer climate. But I didn't even know that this where I'm sitting right now just called to me. I'm actually sitting in the house of the woman who will be my neighbor. I didn't know that this is what I was looking for. I think that just because I was open and it just felt like the right thing to initiate.
Yeah. Very wonderful. Super. So, okay, so what is so what is the challenge that you want to work on today?
I full-heartedly believe in what I'm up to with this creative school. I feel the challenges. I don't know if it's the generation I was born into. I was born at 65, which is a very tumultuous time. But I feel like I maybe grew up in an age where, in order to really give and provide, that you would have impact, but not necessarily the income. So I don't want to speak for all women from my generation, but what I have found is I love what I'm doing, and it could be, providing a talk at a film festival. It could be working with my students. It could be launching this new business, but it seems like, how do I say it? It's almost like you do what you love and then you go do your other job to make sure there's some income so that you can support to do what you love. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I do think there could maybe be a ceiling on it, where things turn around and you can put your full focus into what you're really called to be doing, in support of yourself and support of others, but also be earning an income. And I like to talk sometimes about the kind of like the archetype of the starving artist. And I'm always reminding my students that's not who we are, that's not who we're aiming to be, that we all deserve to be pelt. Be paid well, for what we love doing. And, there's also the piece that society sees certain roles in certain ways, and teachers, educators are historically, like that might change in this very moment as we're speaking, but historically, teachers are underpaid in many cultures. Definitely in the United States, where I live.
Got it. Okay. So are you open to a reframe on that? Cool.
Yes,
All
absolutely.
right. Yeah, let's do it. Okay,
Okay.
so you talk about like so the words that you're using, right? Like you deserve to get paid well for what you love doing. Is that true? Is that like an absolute truth?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, when you frame the question, what comes to me is hopefully what you love doing is in support of healthy, nourishing, activity and growth. I will say, without a shadow of a doubt, as someone who's been a college professor for over 30 years, I do really believe that I truly do believe that I had done that in a society that would have valued what I was up to more. And then that, I'll just be really frank that I would have more money in a retirement fund by now. And I'm watching the thoughts as I'm trying to answer your question. And I just felt like a voice say, don't be greedy, you know. So that's probably where the work is. So for me to say that I, in the work that I'm doing, that I've cultivated my entire life with great presence, I really do want to see income with the impact that the work, I believe the work comes through us, so I don't own it egoically, but I would like more support that way. Because then I can take care of myself more, and I can, if I'm taking care of myself more and all the good things, I can reach more people as well.
Personally, I love eating tacos and lamb gyros. And I don't know that I deserve to get paid well for doing
Got it. I got it.
that.
Yeah.
And my point is just to say that the what we get paid for in this society is things that other people value to
Yes.
the point where they want to give us their money for it. Like that's it, right? There's no judgment there. There's no deserving, not deserving. This is just the mechanics of it. And it's kind of a good world to live in, right? Because like you have the money you have, and it's up to you to decide what's worth it for you to exchange that money in exchange for, right? Some people
Yes.
like a pumpkin spice latte, and some people like stocks, and some people like this house, some people like that house, this food, that food, whatever. But it's kind of awesome to live in a world where like you get to choose versus like in the Soviet Union, where there's some like plan commission that had to decide where all this stuff had to go, right?
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of like, okay, what choices do I make to play this game? What can I provide that people ha perceive as having a value that they want to exchange money for? And that's a game that we can learn to master. Yeah.
Yes. I believe I'm following you.
Yeah.
But the word deserve, when I heard you speak that word back to me, I felt a little peace inside, still. You know, that's, oh. Well, let's back up a second. I would love to have a good taco right now too. So I don't deserve necessarily to be paid for eating that taco. But I'd like to be in a place where I could have access to the taco and afford the taco, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
So
totally.
yeah. But there, I do feel a little something around the word deserve or deserving. So I think it's still that old thing. Well, if you're really in the world, to model self-care and to help instill that in others through creativity, I still feel this tiny little voice, but are you deserving, you know? Are you deserving to receive back for offering that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about that. You mentioned also like the voice that said, don't be greedy. So
Yes.
what was your relationship with money growing up?
Not good.
Imagine you had $100 million in a retirement account.
Right.
How would that feel in your nervous system?
I'm feeling two nervous systems. The adult woman is absolutely thrilled because it's always been my dream to be a philanthropist. I just have so many things. But that young woman in me, let me check the nervous system of the young woman. It's like a feeling if I step out of this vicious, I'll call it a vicious cycle, I'm going to hurt too many other people. Like I'm going to hurt too many people who are choosing that that's what's familiar to them. Yes, it's kind of like, do I have the courage to leave them behind, or do I have the courage to not be there to soothe them, when they're having that experience? Yeah. So the adult woman in me is like, bring it on. And the young woman is afraid of hurting people. Because I definitely identify as a super sensitive person, you know, someone who's aware of other people's feelings and all those sorts of things. I don't know if this relates, but I brought this. I'm really into the fact that there's so many books and scientific research that we have more than five senses, you know, stuff. Like, this is a lot of what we work with in our creative school is helping people access that. And I'm just, yeah, it's like if I have $100 million and I have more than five senses, you know, what if I'm access? I think scientifically there's documented up to 32 now, but I'm sure there's way more than that. I'm speaking as a very sensitive person. Like, you know, I think there's also a piece, is there room in this world, and is there room in our business world? I mean, the business model that you were just sharing with me about how we offer what's considered valuable, is there room in the business world for that? That super sensitivity.
I mean, I don't know. What is the business world?
That's a great question because I had a moment just now, and then I'm catching myself, but I'm going to speak it. I had a moment. Well, the business world is Calvin's world and not my world. I don't understand it. But I must understand something because I launched this new business 3 years ago, and it's been slow to move, but it is moving. And I kind of feel right now, like how I feel when I work on a film for many years, and then you just know when it's ready to share in the world. That's how I feel about the creative school. But I noticed a piece of me questioning my business savvy.
Well, I would say that the business world, I mean, have you ever bought anything from any business?
All the time.
Right. So that's the business world. You're already in the business world. It's kind of really hard to not be in the business world, right? Like, is there room for it? Like, if you have something that has value to someone else and they pay you money for it, bingo, you're in business, right? That's it. Like, we don't need to make it this whole thing. Is there room for, like, do you have something of value to offer to other people? Obviously you do. So yes, there's room for you in the business world. Yeah. With whoever, however you are, right? Super sensitive, not sensitive at all, like whatever. You can be you. Yeah. So, just to go back, I'm imagining that excuse me, if you've been running on this, like, this need to stay hypervigilant, and you associate having a healthy savings, retirement savings account with, now you can calm down, but your subconscious mind says, we can't allow ourselves to calm down. Your subconscious mind is going to make sure that that money stays away. Right?
I hear you.
Yeah.
A part of me doesn't want to believe it because consciously I feel like I know I get it. Like, consciously I really get it, but I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
It really, I mean, this is the fallacy we all make, and I've done this for decades myself, where we think we have to do something for it.
Yes, that's me. That's totally me.
And I'm not saying that there aren't things that we have to do, right? Obviously, we have to let people know that we exist and that we have something to offer. We have to make them an offer on something that they want at the right time, at the right price, to the right person. We have to deliver on the thing. There are things that we need to do, but we get stuck in this, like, pushing harder, doing state, when it's really about we first got to be in a state where we can actually receive. Yeah.
Yeah, I really hear that. I really hear that because I love developing a curriculum, and but as I'm listening to you, I'm really hearing, it's okay to let it sit and breathe for a while. And the nuts and bolts is I need to be finding ways to reach more people now and let the curriculum be what it is.
And the curriculum's gonna keep evolving, and you'll develop it with your people, and So what is the core offer that you plan on selling?
The core offer. So I guess I could talk about the structure of our school. And may this might be the part where I wonder if people will question my business savvy, but
You know what? Let them.
let them. Okay. So as someone who's taught in higher education for many years, I see a lot of students. Here we go with the money piece again, but with a lot of student loans that they have to pay back. And so part of my dream and intention was that the business model for Creative School for integration would be based in reciprocity. So right now, our business structure is we have a monthly membership, but there's three different p tiers of payment. And the idea is to trust folks to re honestly pay in what they can. And this way, someone could pay $60. And we meet twice a week because part of what we do is help people build their creative practice. So we want to help them keep their momentum. We meet twice a week. And at this moment, with the business model, everyone gets the same thing. They can buy in monthly for $60, $120. Or $180, and and the way Simplera works, they just, well, we're very fortunate that people that have joined, they stay on, so they're with us month after month after month. But that's the model at the moment, and I have on the website that where this is based in reciprocity, so I'll. We're always kind of like amazing when someone chooses the 120 or the 180 per month. We're always like, wow, they're really getting it. And then when someone chooses a $60 a month, it's really clear that that's what's allowing them to participate. I've had.
What is it? Can I ask, what does it mean that it's based in reciprocity?
So the idea,
Meaning, let me clarify. The reason I'm asking is, like, all business is reciprocity, right? I go to
Okay.
Starbucks, I give them $5, and they give me a pumpkin spice latte.
Yes.
I don't drink coffee, but you get the idea, right? So it's always like there's some exchange there. So, but what does it
Yes.
mean to you here?
What it's meaning to me here, well, so where I'm sitting right now in Costa Rica, the healthcare system is you pay in based on what you make, what your salary is. So everyone gets the same healthcare. Access to all the same health care. You have to have residency here first to do this. But so if someone pays the it's like the folks who at this moment in time have more the more colones in the bank, they are paying more into the health care system than the person who maybe just graduated from school or is
I
in
mean, that
their
sounds like how taxes work generally too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the more money you make, the more taxes you pay, and then like,
Well,
but
it
you
depends
get the
what
same,
country you're.
but the
I'm
roads are
from
the
the United
same,
States. Yeah.
the water supply is the same, right? Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I'm calling it reciprocity, because if you have more that you can put into the kitty this month, it helps me run my school for more people that can pay $60 a month. And so that's the business model at the moment. Some days I think is that my best business plan? I think about rearranging it a little bit. And then I notice that I really would love it to work this way. That
Sure.
every that so the person who
That's cool.
pays the 180 a month isn't necessarily getting some bonus that the person who's paying the lesser amount isn't getting.
Right.
But I
Okay, so let me
know,
ask you, so
please,
how many
yeah.
members do you have?
We don't have many right now, a dozen at the most. Yep. Yep.
And how much money do you want to make from this business a month?
That is the question. I would like to make, I know I should be giving a specific number, so I need to get there. I would like to make enough so that when I retire from college teaching, I don't have to worry about money. If I get that don't be greedy voice out of my head, I would like to say with I feel so many of my own judgments right now. If I say a
What are
number,
they?
it's going to be too low. If I say another number, it's going to be too high. On a very practical level, I would like to be making less, no less than between 5 to 8K a month with the school. Now, what hasn't taken off yet with the school are the privates. And I feel like that would be a really great boost for the school. And I'm very comfortable giving privates. I'm trained at different modalities and things. So, but I'd like to see the privates take off. And while I'm here in Costa Rica, I'll be visiting a couple of retreat centers to also to look to get some in-person retreats going. So I have, that's the plan.
Right.
But I probably could be stronger in my number crunching.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, so no less than 5 to 8,000 a month. That would cover living expenses. Would it also cover actually putting saving money for into a retirement savings so they are like so savings so that you have for a time
Yeah.
when
Or even after I'm retired, I can be
right.
still saving money and
Exactly, right.
pass it off to my grandchildren when the time comes. No, as I'm listening to you, I really am feeling like I have two nervous systems right now. So the young woman is still concerned about not being greedy. And then the 60-year-old woman is like, yeah, you're saying numbers that will be a little better than getting by, but it's still when push comes to shove, like, yeah, I guess I'm not, I need to let the wires come through to be receptive to a surplus. That's the word that's coming to me as surplus, and that it's not being greedy, because maybe I don't know what the surplus is for yet, but I will when the time is right.
I mean, what if it's just for you?
That is a wild question. My nervous system, wow. I feel that, yeah.
The way that I see this, the way that I see the mind bugs. So the mind bugs are these like very core ways of relating to life, of like there's not enough scarcity, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm not going to be okay relating to the future, or I'm not safe, or like it's all up to me. Like it's these core lenses. They're not beliefs. They're not because we don't go around thinking these things. They're just the eyes that we look through at the world, and then we look through those eyes, and then the world looks like, well, that way, right? Because never seen anything else. And the way I think of it is that you, as a soul, decided, I want to come here to Earth to have the experience of what it feels like to live in scarcity. What it feels like to live like I'm not safe. what it feels to like to live as like it's all up to me. As a soul, we choose to go here to have those experiences. And then we just orchestrate events so that we get to have those experiences. Yeah. So it's not that anybody did anything wrong.
Right. Yes.
They played their part.
Yes. And that's a big part of my own spiritual development is as best as I can to let go of right or wrong in the moment, that I'm having a feeling or
Yeah.
a curiosity or assessing something. So I guess, Calvin, I really believe that too. Have you ever explored or worked with anyone exploring, like taking that soul contract and deciding now I'm at a point in life where it's time to rewrite this?
Yeah,
Yeah.
totally. Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're
Yeah.
doing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me it's like it's the key is to see those lenses, right? So for you, right, there the scarcity, there's not enough, and like I have to do something to deserve of whatever it is because who I am doesn't deserve, right? I can make money if it's for someone else to do good for someone else, but not if it's just for me because I'm not worth it. I don't deserve it, whatever that is. And so the idea is to just see, oh, that's the operating system underneath that. Those are the eyes, and that's actually a lie. Each one of these are lies. But until we see them, they will have power over us. And once you see them, you now have the choice. When they come up again, you're like, oh, that one. Yes, I know
Yeah.
that's a lie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
So
mean,
being able to name it as, yeah.
yeah.
Name it as it appears. Yeah.
Yeah. Just see, yeah. Like for you, I'm like, why 5 to 8,000 a month? Why not 50 to 80,000 a month? Like, why not make $1 million a year?
Yeah. And I. I was feeling that too, when I was saying those numbers. And then part of me was like, don't dare say it. It just came to me, because what if it, okay, what just came to me, don't dare say it because what if it doesn't happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Meaning, But if I could say it and let go of that, it's just only me manifesting that. If I could say it and know that this work that's coming, because I really believe the work that comes through us, like we're in collaboration, and that the more clear I am and
Exactly.
nourished I am, the more it's going to come through. Like I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. But I think, yeah, for me to say, like, 'cause this is going to be very vulnerable, but it's almost like asking for what I make annually in 1 month. And I can feel like, so my nervous system's like, yeah, let's like rearrange for that.
Yeah.
Like, let's just like, why not? I feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the smile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I told you
Money.
that I never thought I would be sitting here in Costa Rica, I always knew I wanted to be here because I would put it in my passcode words. And then I gave up the dream for over 20 years. So something allowed me, because I, where I'm sitting right now, in my neighbor's house, I bought a piece of land next door to her.
Yeah.
And I did it on just a leap of faith. Knowing that somehow this would all work out and that somehow I will have an in-person artist residency here. And so if I believed in that, why not believe that I can make my annual salary every month?
100%, yeah. And then double that and double that again. The three big mistakes that people make when it comes to manifestation is, number one, they think that it's out there when it's really in here. Number two is they think it's out in the future when it's really right here. And number three, they think it's all up to them.
Can you say them again? What was the first one?
That it's out there,
The out there,
outside of me, right?
right?
That it's in the future,
Future.
and that it's all up to me.
I
Because it's.
definitely, yeah, the future and the all up to me. That's where I need to let go.
And that's where it's so beautiful to think of I came across an old Louise Hay video on YouTube the other day, one that I remember watching like 15, 20 years ago. And she talks about prosperity. And she's like, well, it's really like, yes, money, but like, where are you being stingy with time? Or like feeling scarcity around time or wisdom or beauty or comfort? Or, I forget, like a whole range of things, right? Where we can just be prosperous, be abundant around everything. And then, yes, money too, right? But we get so hung up on the money part when really, like, oh no, there's only so much love to go around. There's only so much wisdom and it's hard to come by. Or, like, I can't be comfortable, or, just allowing abundance on every level. It's all there. It's available.
There really is enough for all of us.
Well, and here's the kicker of it, is that abundance is who you are. You are abundance. And so this whole work, what I'm about when it comes to this, the mind bugs and everything, right? There's the you that you think you are, and then there's the you that you really are. The you that you think you are is Kirsten, and she's 60 years old, and she lives in Baltimore, and right now she's in Costa Rica and all that stuff. It was great. The you that you really are is pure soul. It's never born, will never die, always there. And that you is abundance. That you is love. That you is power. It's freedom. It's safe. It's safety. It's all the things.
In the creative school, instead of having folks initiate their page with a traditional frame, we have them do an infinity container because there's no beginning, middle, or end. It's everything you're saying. And that's what's freed the people who are participating and with us. That's what freed them up with their, they got over that I never drew before or whatever it was. But yeah, you're saying all the things that are just deeply meaningful to me. I really like this new person who could make her annual salary monthly. It's really like touching, and I feel like I might tear up because it feels like it's outside of my lineage to even think that way, or to, it's not a thought. Like I'm feeling it in my nervous system. So it feels completely new. It's wild and good.
You deserve to live and thrive and soar and yeah, so much freaking joy and so much fucking money. How does that feel?
I keep going back to my nervous system because it feels new to my nervous system. It feels very new. There's a little sadness that I thought I had done this work. And then there's the joy of, but look where I am here in this very moment. I get to feel this newness. So pure potential. And I just had a energetic feeling of money. Like I'm looking out at all this immense trees, literally sitting in a jungle. I just say like there's millions of leaves here surrounding me, and that money's no different than that. That's wild.
It's tons of money. Money's constantly in motion somewhere. You just gotta put a cup where it's flowing. And I get that. Oh, I thought I've been there so many times myself. I thought I was done with this. I thought I'd done this. The reason I'm obsessed with this level of operating is it took me 21 years of like doing the work till I got this. And then it took me another year or two till I really got it. It's just a different way of operating from anything else I've done. And if Tony Robbins knows about this, I haven't heard him talk about it. I haven't seen him do this. Like he does not get to this level. And it's a different thing. And it's the whole like what we end up doing, what we all fall into is again, if this is your soul and who you really are, and this is the Kirsten 60 years old in this body and all that stuff. It's this part that's doing the work to get out of the prison that this part created, right? Like it's the you that feels not deserving that tries to do things to get out of that, and that'll never work. So we got to notice, oh, I built a prison for myself using pillars that said, I don't deserve, and there's not enough, and I'm not safe, and whatever. And until we can see what they are, we can't escape out of prison. And we don't escape out of prison by doing stuff, but by removing those mind bugs. I don't know. I'm obsessed with it because I don't see anybody else doing this. And most people don't get it because they're like, well, I've already heard this, I've already done this. Like, yeah, this is like that. No, it's different. It hits different. So, yeah.
Where we talk about it consciously, but what I experienced with you today was a visceral,
Exactly.
body and nervous system experience. Which, it, the most beautiful irony is what we're doing with our creative school.
I have one other gift for you here, which is there is one more mind bug that I'm seeing, which ties back to the very first thing you said about creating the space of non-judgment. Because what I'm feeling from you is there's a lot of right and wrong, and you're afraid of doing the like when I ask you how much money, right? You start monitoring yourself. Well, if I say this, it's gonna be wrong this way. If it's that, it's gonna be wrong that way, right? So that constant state of, again, it's a form of hypervigilance. But as like self-censorship, self-consciousness, like, Because there's a thing that I could do now that would be right, and there's a thing I could do that would be wrong, and I don't know which is which. And so I have to constantly be in my head trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I'm writing down self-censorship so I don't. Censorship is a term we use in the art world a lot.
Exactly.
And
Yeah.
that's right. Yeah. Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not my intention to self-censor. I'm gonna make a t-shirt that says that or something to make sure I'm. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm sitting like right here with you right now in this living field where I just, everything is pure potential, and I can take those younger parts of me and give them a big hug and let them know I'm not abandoning them either. I mean, I'm inviting them into this amazing adventure. I mean, look where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I love that. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the world. Pure potential, pure possibility. Yeah. Yeah. This is the biggest one for me as well. Like, oh shit, I did something wrong. Shouldn't have done that. Fucked up. Like, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I do it the wrong way? Constant. Yeah. You can't fuck it up.
We can
None of
only
what,
learn.
yeah, none of what you ever did was wrong. None of what you ever said was wrong. Nothing that you do in the future can be wrong. Nothing that you say can be wrong. You can just you do what you do. And things are gonna happen from that, and that's it. Yeah. And you know this, right? And then this is where it becomes the lived the reality that we experience in the body. And we get to.
Yes. And what I also know is the hypervigilance, the way I experience hypervigilance is it will exhaust me and then I can't feel my body.
Totally. Yeah.
So I'm making my intention to also not self-censor the experience. The experiences that my body wants to have, which is to be nourished and rested and be making creative decisions, business decisions, all the decisions from that place, not the hypervigilant place.
Yeah.
Again, no right
And
or wrong. It's just
exactly, yeah.
the hypervigilant place just doesn't feel good.
No. No. It's exhausting.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's the word. It's exhausting.
Yeah. 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 You're so beautiful, Kirsten.
Oh, gosh. Well, okay, I'm gonna let that in. Gonna let that in. I'm deeply appreciative of your beauty and that you're doing this with folks. I don't know of another like platform, for people to run all these unique businesses where they get this.
No,
So that's a thank you.
my pleasure. Yeah, I'm not aware of one either. So what I want you to consider is that the real what you do, your offer, what you sell people, what you offer people, it's about art and creativity, but really it's about this. All right. What we did here
This
today.
is the work.
Yeah.
And what I, meaning what's coming through me, has discovered, there is a large population of mark makers, people that want to do this work through making marks and then seeing what those marks turn into. It's like that's reciprocity because They're getting fed by, it's like this unfolding, and it's immensely nourishing and fun. And it's not that people don't hit some places. People are definitely hitting some of those uncomfortable places, but there's something about this mark making process that, yeah, like what you and I have just done together, it brings them through.
100%.
Yeah, it's just this is the way it's unfolding with this population. Yeah.
Exactly. Let me,
Yeah.
I want to share something with you quick.
Okay.
This is actually, this is, I can see this. This is my mom.
Oh,
And
wow. Okay.
her
Yeah.
is in Danish, but she
Yeah.
started a software company in 1980 in Denmark.
Wow. Oh,
And
wow.
then in her second half of her life, when my brother and I left high school and left the home, she got back into painting and spent like, I don't know, 20, 30 years doing spiritual development through painting with her,
Yeah.
for herself and with her clients. And so I'm deeply familiar with that world.
Yeah.
And what I want you to consider is how fucking valuable that transformation is to these people, right?
Yes.
And there
Yeah.
are a lot of people, I don't know if the audience for this type of thing tends to be older women, right? Like, I don't know what your audience, what is your experience?
That's who we're getting
Right.
mostly. Yes. Yeah.
There are lots of older women who have plenty of money, right? Corporate careers, husbands that have made whatever, for whatever reason, savings. There's lots of them that have lots of money, but they don't have this. Right?
Yeah.
If you were to say which is more valuable in life, the money or the this?
Oh, wow. Without it being a right or wrong question, I mean, I have to choose this, meaning the what I'm calling the make your marks,
Yeah.
because it's every it just provides everything.
Right.
Yeah.
But what I mean by this, let me be more specific, is
Okay.
this feeling that you had here of like, oh my God, this field of like pure,
The pure potential.
exactly, right.
Yeah.
Which is more important? Which matters more, that or money?
I'm going to say the pure potential because money is empty without it.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So my point is, when you offer people to experience and create a home for themselves in a from a in that energy of pure potential,
Yeah.
is that worth charging a good amount of money for?
Yes.
Yeah, hell fucking yeah. Right? So I want you to really recognize that, yes, you don't have the money that you desire. And of course you don't, because you had this freaking story running around that,
Yeah.
right? But what you have is something that's so much more valuable that you can offer to people who have a ton of money. So go do that and charge whatever you feels right for you, but do it with complete confidence, knowing the worth of what you're offering. And I like, so the we've got so there's the your worth as a human being, as a being, is inherent. It's infinite. It has nothing to do with anything of what you do for people or what you achieve or value provide, etc. None of that. In the marketplace, the exchange of money is like, I offer something that is more valuable to you than it is to me, right? Meaning like to me, I love doing the thing that I do, and it's valuable for you, so you give me money, right? So we both win, right? I give something. I'd rather have your money than this, right? Like I want both, right? And you want the thing that I have. My point is that you can charge good amount of money for this, whatever that number is for you right now. Feel great
Okay.
about it. And then if there are other people that you really want to help that don't have the money, you can do that for free. Right. You make $1 million a year selling to people who can easily afford it and there's no problem. And then you can have like 10 scholarships or 20 scholarships or whatever, 100, I don't care, for people who don't have the money. Right. And then that's great to do it that way. There's a another woman on our platform. Her name is recently. I don't think it's out yet. Do you know? Have you heard of her? Do you know?
I have not.
She does collage art. That's her thing. But similar kind of market. And what she realized is that people want her, right? It's like collage is just the excuse, but what people want is her, because that's what's attractive. Like they want whatever je ne sais quoi that she has, right? And then the collage becomes the vehicle, but it's not what it's really about. And I think she's on track to make $1 million a year on this right now. So I just want to say that as like, I want you to hold that as like, that's entirely possible for you. And the more that you show up in the way that we smelled and tasted here today, the more people are going to be fucking drawn to that and be like, yeah, hell yeah, I want a taste of that thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I do. I feel it. Yeah, I hear
Yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Let this set in and let's go make some money.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe you can retire in 6 months or a year if you want to.
Instead of 3 years,
Yeah. Hell, why wait? Yeah.
It's interesting because as you're saying things that I would really love to see come true, it's almost like I feel it coming in and I'm noticing, like, okay, let it go all the way through, like the whole nervous system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
And this is the practice, because your nervous system, your brain's like, we have these neural pathways in the brain, and yours has been for 60 years been used to going down some very specific paths, and now there's going to be a moment of like recalibrating. For me, it was like literally the day before my 50th birthday 2 years ago that my mentor who taught me this, his name is Peter Krohn. I don't know if you're familiar with him. Yeah.
I think I've heard you speak about him.
Yeah. So he's incredible, and he's the one that like revealed this for me for the first time ever, like after having done all of the work for 21 years, right? And he's like, and for me that was like I did something wrong. That was the big one. There's some other ones as well, but that was the big one for me. I mean, I kind of had all of them activated, but the cornerstone was like that one. And then I felt it, and I felt this incredible opening. And then, like a year later, I realized it was like on my birthday, exactly a year later, I realized, holy shit, I'm doing it again. I've been doing it still since. All right. Every single day, 30 times a day, I was doing some version of that. So it's just like the nervous system is going to have that, like your brain, your neural wiring is going to have that tendency to pull you back. The more that you can stay aware of, like, oh, these were the mind bugs that we discussed, and when they come up, you recognize them, the faster it's going to go. But either way, you can't fuck it up. You can't do
Okay.
it wrong.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
just had this vision of, writing myself post-it notes, which
Yeah.
I do, but I think I just need to write some, like just leaving them strategically so that when
Yeah.
that long
Totally.
day comes,
Yeah.
oh, I remember. It's
Yeah.
time to remember.
Yeah. Amazing. I'm
Interesting.
so happy for you and so excited about the work and all the lives that you're going to change out there with your mere presence. What a
Thank you,
blessing you are.
Calvin. Oh,
Yeah.
thank you so much. I'm gonna let that
Yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so
Yeah.
much for this.
Yeah. My pleasure.